GM, GM friends, you are now listening to the Degen Aussie Apes, bringing you another weekly session on all things crypto and NFTs. Let's go. It's the money. GM, GM, Wasi.
GM, Shaheen.
How are we today?
A very fine Web3 morning.
It's always Web3 in our world. It's, start of a early morning. Wednesday mornings as usual. Coming into the Degen HQ, 5 a.m. and just moving mountains,
100%. It's been what we've been doing since 2023 ticked over the calendar.
Whilst we're always talking about Web3, which brings the question of what is Web3? And today's episode is heavily focused on what is Web3?
Decentralized web in a nutshell.
Yeah, I think a lot of people ask me what is Web3, and my general response is being rewarded for your participation in a network. But it actually is so much more. I mean, to me, it's being touted as the future of the internet with a version of a blockchain-based web, including all things. So from your cryptocurrencies to NFTs to DAOs, decentralized finance, so much more. All of this comes together into bringing in what is Web3. A lot of people, when they think about Web3, they generally think solely about cryptocurrency. However, cryptocurrency to me is just the tip of the iceberg. When it comes to Web3, it's the underlying technology that is the blockchain, to me, where it gets so much more interesting. Because once you start to go down the wormhole, you start to realize, hold on a second, there's so much more to this. We can have deeds, we can have assets, we can have all these different things going on within Web3 and within the blockchain. Blockchain is a decentralized, it's a distributed ledger, which is a database hosted by a network of computers instead of a single server. These things are immutable. Once the data goes on there, they can't be changed. So we can look at this blockchain technology as a way to, from creating digital deed ownerships for tangible assets, for artists and musicians to sell their works as NFTs, giving ownership rights to investors. We've seen DAOs, for example. There was a DAO that raised $47 million to buy a key piece of the US Constitution. The totality of all of this is what is Web3, but I think we've got to step it back a bit for them to understand, because I think you need to understand first Web1, Web2, to really then understand Web3.
Yeah, so we're going to go back in order. So to understand Web3, you really need to understand Web2. You know, the term Web2 was coined in 2004. It started in 2000. And if you remember, this is why it's important to go back that way. Y2K, which was when 1999 ticked over to 2000. It brought unimaginable hype to the World Wide Web because everybody thought it was the end of the world. It was a meta. Basically. Mm. And then Web2 was born, because now everybody's like, oh, what's this internet stuff? And they started getting on, and the use cases just expanded from there. Now, the architecture of Web2, the important part, which is companies offered you services through websites where you can hold things. So in Web2, you were able to log on, update information a company has on you. And that's a key difference between Web1 and Web2. Web1, you were only able to view. So Web2 now enables you with your identity to log on to a company's system where they hold and own all the data. That's what's changed in Web3, folks. That is no longer the case. You have all these services that Shaheen was talking about and what we talk about on our podcast, all these amazing use cases in Web3, but none of them would have been possible if Ethereum didn't emerge in 2015 and create the concept of decentralization. And that's the link. That's why people associate this stuff with cryptocurrency, Shaheen.
Yeah, I think what needs to be remembered is the main difference when it comes to Web 1, which we'll have to step back to, and Web 2 is Web 2 is reading and writing on the web. And the key drivers of Web 2 was social media. Because you had a situation of things like Facebook, Twitter, MySpace, Tumblr, which came to define the experience of being online. Then you had things like YouTube, Wikipedia, and Google that brought the ability to comment on content, to expand our watchability, and also to learn, search, and communicate. That's a huge change from where we first started in Web 1. And to step it back a little bit, guys, Web 1, it was an internet of a physical infrastructure of wires, servers that let computers and people talk to each other. And it's funny that it actually started 1969 with the US government's ARPANET sending the first message, or first, in a sense, email. But it wasn't until 1991 when the emergence of HTML and URLs came in to make it possible to navigate between pages. So right now, guys, we have Web 1, which is just read-only. You take your content or content that's given to you, you can read it, you can not really do much with it. It's quite static.
It's like a catalog.
That's it. You're just scrolling through this catalog. And it was funny, one of the head guys from Microsoft, when the web first came out, was asked at a conference, what do you think the web would be used for? And his response was, you know, one day it might be an online library. No one had the foresight of emails, of Skypes, of where we are today in this Web 2 world. We never thought that YouTubes and all these alternative things would take over mainstream TV. People now refer to YouTube more than they do to Channel 7, Channel 9, Channel 10, which, guys, is the, for those listening around the world, that's sort of the free-to-air stations that we get. But this so-called static web, the read-only web, pretty much consisted of just those static web pages that were created and published by individuals or organizations just to provide information to users. They were accessed and viewed by users, and there was no way for them to really interact. They couldn't make changes, but this was the birth. This was the start. And just to liken it back to currently now with Web3, with digital wallets, around this time, only 4% of the world had access to the internet. Right now, as of today, guys, only 4% of the world have online wallets. So put that in comparison a little bit, because that can show you the trajectory that we are currently on at the moment.
Super early. Things are happening every week.
Well, things are happening, you know, things evolve. I remember when I first got my email address, I had to fill out form upon form. Now in my Web2 world, I log on to ChatGPT and it says to me, would you like to sign in via Facebook, via Google, via... You've seen the UX and the user experience become so much more easier. And guys, believe us when we say this is coming to Web3. It might seem hard to set up a wallet now. Me and Wasi just went through it trying to set up Sparrow wallets on the Bitcoin chain. It was very hard. Not like a MetaMask that took a couple of clicks and a seed phrase, but it will get better. So yes, we are early, but guys, this is something that you really need to drill down, and you really need to understand what is Web3 to take advantage of Web3. Web1, very static, read-only. But then when we came into Web2, everything changed. Social media, YouTube's content, you could comment, you could change, you could remove. I mean, mind-blowing, isn't it?
And I want to slow the reel right down there, because this has been a problem for the last 5 to 10 years, because everybody, the iPhones, the devices themselves, are the smartest devices mankind has ever seen. We all hold in our pockets, on our wrists, computers that used to take two rooms down at the CIA, right, to process data. So all the hardware that we need for Web3 is also here and evolving at an amazing pace. Mm. And that's why, you know, things like politics, geopolitics, China, Taiwan, semiconductor, number one semiconductor plant in the world.
It's crazy, because there's always pros and cons. Web2 changed everything. But there's a major con that...
Conspiracy theories.
No, not a conspiracy theory. It's a period of centralization. We have network effects. We have economies of scale that have led to clear winners in the Web2 space, and companies that have produced mind-boggling wealth for themselves and shareholders, not by selling their products, guys, by mostly scraping users' data and selling targeted ads against them. That's how they're making their money. And it is on a forefront now, where we are constantly hearing about data protection, privacy,
breaches,
all these things, malware, all these things that is, they want to know what you're doing on your phone. So huge con that we have fallen into this world of massive centralization. But there's also been amazing things to Web2. It's created new ways for the average person to make money, such as the sharing economy, such as influencing, and so much more. Those that took the opportunity that Web2 presented, started the Instagram page, started influencing, started sharing their ideas, created content, have truly capitalized in the Web2 market. Now the barrier to entry in that is very high. What do you need? 50,000 followers, 100,000 followers. Guys, I've been building a YouTube channel called Art of the Hive. Go check it out. We've been building the DJ and Aussie Apes channel as well. Check it out on YouTube. But to build a loyal subscribing base, it takes time. My content needs to be good. I am daily putting things up. Web3 can actually bridge that gap so much faster. I think it can shatter these monopolies like we've never seen before, because in theory, a blockchain-based web that could shatter monopolies and could shatter who controls information, who makes money, and even how networks and corporations work. When you have something like a DAO, a decentralized autonomous organization, guys, where your vote actually matters. Perfect example, ApeCoin. We hold ApeCoin. We have a casting vote. Every single way the money is spent to how the money is raised is thrown back to the average person, to the holder like myself and like Wasi, where we actually have a voice. This is, in a sense, democratizing the web. So we're stepping back from a level of centralization into decentralization, which is what we have wanted for so long and why we're in a large aspect as to why we're in Web3. But did Web3 just be born overnight? No, it didn't, guys. It actually, the seeds of Web3 were planted in 1991 by two scientists who launched the first blockchain, which was just basically a project to timestamp digital documents. But to truly understand Web3, it just doesn't start there. The roots of things taking off come back to Bitcoin, 2009, a peer-to-peer payment system. This is where the real seeds, I believe, have been planted for Web3, because we are now in a situation where we're removing the middleman. Bitcoin gave that to us.
It's like a ripple effect. So the first drop was back in 1991, like you said. And then with every ripple in the water, the circle got bigger and bigger. So you said Bitcoin, 2008. Then another big push came in 2015 when Ethereum was born and smart contracts.
Which was hugely changing. I mean, just to step it back, when it comes to Bitcoin, guys, the underlying idea of all of it was that the ownership of the cryptocurrency is tracked on a public ledger. When one user wants to make a transfer, a miner will process that transaction by solving a complex math problem and then add to that block of data, earning a new Bitcoin for the miner's efforts. That was strictly at the time. I mean, I know ordinals have come through as of late, but that was strictly as a peer-to-peer payment option. But that birthed newer options. That birthed newer blockchains. And like you said, in 2015... was when Ethereum was birthed, which was not only just a cryptocurrency, guys, and understand this. It's a cryptocurrency and a platform that can be used to build other cryptocurrencies on and blockchain projects. This is where that evolution really jumped. It's where we started with smart contracts. We started with NFTs. This was the birth. Where did it lead from? It led from the birth of Bitcoin. It led from Satoshi's white paper. I mean, Gavin Wood, the co-founder of Ethereum, described it as one computer for the entire planet with computing power distributed across the globe that is controlled by nowhere. And when you really hone down on that statement, I mean, it's a huge mic drop. Isn't it? It's huge. Where we no longer have a centralized server or a centralized company or government controlling all these. We have nodes. We have different networks. We have people that... to confirm your information is an external source completing a very complex math problem to be rewarded a coin, then to confirm your block of information that is immutable. It is there forever, guys.
You're part of the community because actually at the base level, by you plugging into that blockchain, you are a soldier helping protect it.
Mm.
So the more nodes, the more distributed it gets, the more secure it is.
The safer the network is.
You know, so it's got a funny human element to it, Shaheen, where you're now part of that community and you're actually contributing by just being plugged in. You're getting the benefits of being plugged in, you know, but you're giving back and you're securing the network.
It's crazy. I mean, there's so many use cases as to why Web3 is the future and how can you fight it? I mean, if Web3 is an extension of a cryptocurrency using the blockchain, can this create a fair playing ground for the average person? Well, let's take, for example, people that live, in third world countries. And for example, their land is untenanted land. So they flee because of war. They leave for 5 years. they come back and someone has moved on their land. How do we prove that that's their land? Well, if that land was registered as an NFT, it's registered on a blockchain, it's immutable. We can actually define the ownership immediately. This solves a massive issue. Cross-border payments, guys. Right now, if I was to send money to my family in Sudan or all over the world, I'm paying taxes on that money. Well, hey, I can send that via cryptocurrency and cut out that middleman completely. Why should the government take 15, 20, 30% of money that I'm sending that I've paid tax on in my country, and now they're taking it and taxing it again for the money that I'm helping feed my family in a third world country? All of this, guys, is what you're starting to see the demise of. Is it the fall of governments? Is it the fall of the payment system as you know it? Because the payment system and the dollar is not that old. You know, we switched to the gold, from the gold reserve to the US dollar, it was in like 1973. Right now, we're looking at money in the bank that is devaluing every single day. You do not have the purchasing power that you used to. It's very concerning. I mean, I was doing a bit of research and I came across Chris Dixon, who's a partner in the VC firm A16Z, who had been quoted saying, Web3 is the internet owned by builders and users orchestrated with tokens. He also says it can fix a core problem of centralized networks where the value is accumulated by one company and that company ends up fighting its own users and partners. These companies, guys, have monopolies. Amazons, the YouTubes, all these types of things. Why is Amazon so good? Because I can pull out an app on my phone, I can order and I can have it tomorrow. I mean, they control so much money. They control so much wealth. We've seen it in our shops, Woolworths, things like that. These are holding their products and their people to ransom whilst making ridiculous profit.
I don't think it will be the demise of governments, right? Because there's always... these things play out on a larger scale, like decades, right?
Well, in time, of course.
100%. But it's definitely challenging them. It's scaring them. The US politics are trying to shut down crypto and make it, you know. So, but that's not going to happen because there's too many people involved now.
Well, let's not forget, when you look at historically on the fall of nations, what was the largest empire to fall? As of late, the Ottoman Empire in the 1900s. That's the last, they ruled the world. We had gone from pretty much every 1,000 years an empire falling to pretty much within 70 to 100 years. What's the next empire to fall? It's America. We have right now mass power changes. We have BRICS nations popping up. We have countries saying that we want to use the yuan as their dollar. This is huge because our whole world is revolved around the US dollar. Could you see the demise of the power of that nation within the next 10 years? Will you see the rise of governance DAOs come and take that? Well, why wouldn't the people want that when your vote actually counts? If we did our current vote here in Sydney, Australia, or in Australia for our federal politics, we will actually know who the Prime Minister is because you cannot cheat a public ledger that is immutable. Once he logs in on his wallet, he votes. Why don't they do that now? They're scared. And people do not understand this yet. This is going to be a situation, guys, where when you look at Ticketmaster, who have issued the most amount of NFTs in the world, millions and millions of, to date, of NFTs have come from Ticketmaster. You will wake up one day and it will just be the everyday norm. That's what it's going to be. You know, it's just, you're not going to realize how it came, when it came, but all of a sudden for you to go to that concert, you're downloading a digital wallet. Your ticket is being put onto that wallet. Things will happen a lot faster than you expect. And Web3 will catapult that. I mean, a perfect example is there's a streaming service called Sound.xyz. Now, Sound.xyz pretty much promises a better deal for artists. So I went on it the other day and I had a look and it was amazing. Snoop Dogg had released a song that was a 10,000 mint that gave me rights to the song. I can use it how I want it. I can invest in that song and there's only a 10,000 supply. So now artists can have a way to get funded, can have their fans directly buy and contribute. I mean, this is just one.
It's heaps bullish. Everything.
Mate, it's one tiny example.
Everything coming out of the Web3 space is bullish.
Stable coins. Guys, stablecoins that are, their value is pegged to the US dollar are being pitched as an upgrade to the global financial system. Governments are coming out knowing they can't beat this, saying, well, hey, we're just going to make a CDBC because they know that you cannot beat this.
NAB's already released theirs, and they're using it for international settlements.
Web3 will be here before you know it, guys. It already is. It's building. Be a part of the 4% that is adopting this. Play to earn games. Axie Infinity, guys. If you don't know Axie Infinity, that was paying four times the daily rate of what someone would make in the Philippines. The issue we have and the biggest problems that I see at the moment is negative sentiment. Right now, because people do not understand this, people are fearful. The negative sentiment is very bad. Guys, take the whole macro of everything that's going on. Supply chain issues, potential of World War III, all these things. People do not want to spend their money. Inflation through the roof, interest rates through the roof. People are holding their money. The sentiment is bad. There was actually a casual poll held on LinkedIn by HBR readers in March 2022, where 70% had said they did not know what Web3 is.
That's crazy.
It's crazy. At the same time, it's understandable. How are we to know? It was hard enough for us to learn about Web3, hence why we're dropping a bit of a podcast today and just doing a little bit of an in focus. Web3, guys, is rife with speculation. Skeptics believe Web3 is nothing but a speculative economy that will make many rich people richer. And to be honest, when I looked into it, I can see why. When you've got, for example, the top 0.1% of Bitcoin holders owning over 27% of the supply, this enables wash trading. You can sell your assets to each other at a loss. We see it all the time. A Bored Ape selling for $5. Was it a fat finger, or are they wash trading? Are they laundering their money? Are they trying to get the losses, even though they still own the NFT? Oops, I pressed the wrong button and I sent it to myself. This is market manipulation. We are seeing a large number of scams and a large number of pump and dumps. But how do you look at life? Is the glass half full? Us as degens, us here at the Degen
Audience. What's your risk appetite? Mate,
we love the volatility because we know that's where intergenerational wealth can be made. Because believe me, guys, when the day comes that you believe in this and you wake up and you say, you know what? I'm going to buy some crypto. I'm going to participate. It's most likely going to be a highly regulated market where you make your 2, 3, 4, 5% like you do in the stock market. The wild, wild west would have finished, guys. Don't sleep on this.
Welcome to the jungle.
Welcome to the jungle. One of my other biggest concerns with Web3, and no one I've spoken to has actually brought this up, the enabling of harassment and abuse and the potential disastrous unintended consequences that this have. And people will be like, well, what do you mean harassment and abuse? A public ledger can enable that. And that's the scary thing. Let's say hypothetically, you take someone on a date and you split the night in half. And at the end of the night, you turn around and you say, okay, well, how much do I owe you for the night? She says, well, you owe me $50, and you send it via your web address, via your digital wallet.
Pay me in ETH.
Pay in ETH. What does that then open up? They then can view every single transaction. They can see the therapist that you spend your money at. They can see the corner shop that you buy your money at. Now people say, yeah, but you know, you have different wallets and this. Believe me, you will not, because you're lazy. Hence why we see a lot of scammers using the same wallet addresses to do their scams, because they're that lazy, they won't even set up a new wallet and transfer funds. They're just stuck in this one place. They don't need to think about it. Guys, it's the same thing right now. We are being hacked. We're being attacked. If you have the same password for multiple things, change it today. It's the easiest way. Once they crack that password, they access your bank, they access everything else. It's, you know, we're seeing identities being stolen, and Web3 can have those disastrous consequences. I mean, imagine a stalker having access to every single transaction. You cannot remove your data, which is another huge major issue for countries like Europe. Europe currently have the General Data Protection Regulation, which enshrines the right to have your personal data erased. That is a law. How do you fight that? Guys, I want to give you both sides of the coin. I want you to think about this and think that if something is inevitable and something is coming, how do you conform to that system? And how do you, I guess, achieve success in this system?
Step number one is gain yourself some knowledge. Step number two, apply that knowledge.
And step three, listen to the Degen Aussie Apes. We will try bring all of this stuff, guys, condensed down for you so you can just deep dive with us. Wasi could agree too. We're from a different generation. Facebook, we were there for the birth of. MySpace, we were there for the birth. We saw all of it, just like a lot of our listeners. We were very apprehensive to doing digital identities and doing even a podcast. But we took a deep dive. We looked at the risks, we looked at the cons, and we said, this is something that is inevitable and we have to participate in this network. Guys, attention is currency. If you've been thinking about starting the TikTok page, start it. If you're thinking about starting a YouTube page, just start it. Because who knows with Web3, will these tokenize? Will you be rewarded for your participation in a network because you had that YouTube channel going for a while? I mean, it's not financial advice. This is purely speculative and hypothetical, guys. But believe me, when I have seen airdrops, which we covered just on our last In Focus, when I have seen airdrops change the lives of the two people sitting at this table, anything's possible.
That's where we should wrap this up. Web3, it sounds like an amazing journey.
I'm excited.
Put your belts on, get your wheels ready, and let's cruise down the Web3 highway. This was Wasi and Shaheen. You were listening to the Degen Aussie Apes.